CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with my good colleagues, Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He's in Buenos Aires traveling. And Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. He's in North America with me. Joseph, I come to you because you're in downtown Buenos Aires. Does it look riotous? Are there chaos agents on every street? Have they lit fires in the parks? Or does it look like a country of normal fare? What's it look like, Joseph?
Well, so to be fair and full transparency, I'm a little bit outside the city center, where most of the protests will probably take place. So where I'm at, it's pretty relatively calm and tranquil. But when you go into the city center, there's always potential to be protests. I haven't been there, so I haven't seen it. But Argentina is no stranger to protests, throughout its history. Right now, the general environment that I realized in Buenos Aires, and I got here late last week, was one of basically cautious optimism. President Milei is still relatively popular. I mean, hovering around the 50% approval rating. And he still has a lot of supporters, but the economic situation is still tough. And so he has to, and I think his administration, he himself, the president's working very hard to attract investment, to spur the economy. They've been able to curb inflation. They've been able to have some good macroeconomic indicators. But at the end of the day, it's hard for that to be felt in the wallet. As they say, there's macroeconomic solutions, but microeconomic problems. So if you don't get this done, solved at the microeconomic level where people can actually feel like they're having more opportunities, that can translate into political problems. So far it hasn't happened at a magnitude that you would think, has happened in the past in Argentina, but, it's certainly possible. And I think that would be the question with the protests. I think that it's still a little early. Like I said, if President Milei is hovering at around 50% approval, that's still pretty high, especially, in Argentine standards. And the big story of the last few days in Argentina hasn't really been about President Milei. It's been about the former president, Alberto Fernandez, committing domestic abuse because he was beating his wife. And his wife gave a major interview, and I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but she put pictures on social media of bruises and black eyes and things that apparently that the former president allegedly has done to her. So really the attention in the media in Argentina has focused on the former president, which has given the current president, Milei, a little bit of not as much of a focus. And so these protests really haven't done much as of yet.
Ernesto, I come to you. The plane crash that we all have seen video of, it's a horrible video of people who are doomed. As of now, the news here is that there's no cause for the plane crash. This was a domestic internal flight, correct?
It was, John, it was. There are more and more regional airlines in Brazil that fly between, secondary cities and not the capitals of the states. This was one of those regional flights. Well, of course, a tragedy is a tragedy, or anything else. We have to think of the victims. But normally when there's a crash like that there's not only one cause, right? There's a conjunction of causes, maybe material, maybe human. That's what has to be investigated. They just found the black boxes. But overall, it's very concerning because this year so far, Brazil has had one airplane accident every 2 days. Of course, most of those with much smaller planes. Fortunately, many of those without people dying. But something must be investigated beyond this crash. Why is so unsafe to fly in Brazil right now? It's pretty safe to fly, I think, with the big three or four airlines between the big capitals. But we have more and more of those regional flights and, of course, private planes, sometimes maybe without the security apparatus that would be necessary. In a normal moment, there would be an investigation, and people in the administration would be called to testify in Congress and elsewhere, say, well, what's going on? But today, everything that Lula does or doesn't do tends to be covered up by the media, and so people are not talking about the role of the administration. Of course, this will not turn people back to life, but I think we do need to see beyond this single story and for Brazilians and for people who were from elsewhere, of course, who fly in Brazil, to ask for more security in flights in Brazil. Why we have this situation now?
Another story about Brazil that we've touched on before, but Reuters puts it up freshly. Fire brigades in the Brazilian Amazon are battling blazes after the worst start in 20 years for the rainforest. Smoke blanketed the horizon along the Trans-Amazonian Highway outside the town of Apuí in the south of Brazil's Amazonas state. I recall you telling me that the worst in 20 years dates then back to Lula da Silva in the presidency. And again, the media blame Bolsonaro for every fire in the Amazon, but it blames whatever, the farmers and the indigenous people or the natural phenomenon for the Amazon fires. To your understanding, does Lula da Silva explain why they're more, why they're worse than in 20 years? Does he even take a press conference on it?
No, no, he hasn't, because he's not called to into account for that like Bolsonaro was. If governmental policies are responsible for the fires, well, should be now the role for the Lula administration to explain their government policies. I don't think it's government policies that are the main responsible for that. It's a very complex situation. It involves natural phenomena. It involves social phenomena. It involves the poverty of the people in the Amazon and other regions that have to burn the forest. It involves a lot of different aspects. But this should be approached scientifically and seriously and not politically. And it's being approached basically politically. I sent you a graph that's very illustrative in that regard. Lula just broke the record of fires in Brazilian forests this year, in the months up to July, if I can bore you with some figures, but it's 113,000 square kilometers this year so far. The worst year in Bolsonaro was 59,000 square kilometers, so basically the half. Lula has doubled the worst year in terms of forest fires across Brazil. Previously, the years with most fires had been all during the Lula first two terms, back in 2003, 2007, and 2010. Okay, Dilma Rousseff had very bad years, and Bolsonaro was below average for all those years. So this will not be correctly addressed as long as is addressed politically and in a partisan way, and that's what's going on right now.
And Joseph, quickly, we have 30 seconds. Ecuador, they've set the presidential contest. Noboa, the president at the moment, the young man, and a woman named Luisa Gonzalez, who represents Korea. So are we going to see a replay of that violent election? We have 20 seconds.
Yeah, certainly looking that way, John. I was looking at seeing a part two, a redux of the last election, which Daniel Noboa won. But the conditions have changed. Ecuador still remains very violent. And we hope that this doesn't turn into another, one where presidential candidates are assassinated.
Joseph Umar, Secure Free Society on the Road. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. The New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.